Hello and welcome to another episode of Masala Zindabad. I'm Amrita of IndieQuil with Beth of Beth Loves Bollywood and Maria, aka Filmiholic, to discuss the third season of Coffee with Karan. As those of you familiar with the show might know, Karan likes to hold an awards episode at the very end where he rates his guests on their performance. We were less than impressed, so here's our attempt at redressal. Maria, what did you think about the third season?
I thought it had its low points and its high points. Of course, there was the wonderful new decor of the studio, which I have to say, if anybody's ever seen a Bond film called The Man with the Golden Gun, that hallway that they make the guests walk down and come down those stairs, the villain in that film, Francisco Scaramanga, had this kind of a maze built inside a mountain in like China somewhere or Hong Kong or whatnot. And as I was looking at these episodes again, all I could think was, that hallway leading up to the stairs is exactly like something Francisco Scaramanga would have had. So, I thought it was interesting for some of the slightly more scandalous things that some people actually let down their hair enough to say, and some of those "oh no, you didn't" moments. But there was also an awful lot of phoniness to get through and fakery, and that was really disappointing. And the one thing that I know I thought I had been hallucinating about, but is true, there was supposed to have been an episode with Arjun Rampal. And at the very end of the episode with Zoya and Farhan Akhtar, they were showing, you know, scenes from next week, and they had like this photo montage of Arjun and his wife. And then that episode never happened. And I kept wondering, like, did I dream that or something? So I'd love to know what the story is behind that it never took place, because I was really looking forward to it. So those are my initial thoughts. What about you guys?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's a lot of to get through in order to learn anything. I know the show isn't about learning, but yeah, it's just sort of some pretty spectacularly polished poo. And I don't know. There were some moments that really surprised me with how insulting some of the guests were, not only to other stars or other people in the industry, but also to their audiences. And, you know, that's always delightful.
I think the first couple of seasons were about them finding their own feet and the novelty of being interviewed by one of their own and by somebody who was in a position of power. And then in the third season, it all kind of fell apart where everybody knew what they were getting into and it was painfully obvious.
And that might be aggravated by the fact that there are so many guests that he's had on either twice or even three times.
Right.
Like I remember him saying to a couple of people, "Oh, this is your third appearance on Coffee with Karan." Like, why don't you find somebody else to talk
exactly.
to then?
Exactly. I think we've talked about this before on our last episode, perhaps, that there's a very clubby feeling to these interviews, which was refreshing the first time you saw it because it kind of let you see inside their world. But by now, we've kind of seen it already, and now it's just annoying.
And one lesson that I came away with from this season was this pairing business. I mean, sometimes it works great, and sometimes it can just be awful. Like the episode of Hrithik and his wife, I just thought that was just, oh, God.
I the only person that thought Suzanne was off her heels drunk when she was I mean, girl was sloshed something amazing on that couch. I mean, I was entertained, but in a very different way, I think, than they intended. I particularly liked Hrithik's deer in the headlights moment where he was just like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Right, where she's going on about his, you know, his wonderful body and like coming home to this every night and stuff. And he's like, what? But Amrita, you know, there was this other series on, I think it was on NDTV Good Times. It was called The First Ladies. Well, they had Suzanne Roshan on that also. And it's kind of a similar setup. I mean, their set is really frou-frou and overwrought. And so I actually like it. It's a little bit more kind of, I don't know, homier, but I mean that with, you know, air quotations around it. But it's got more elements to it, you know, than just the obligatory glass and metal coffee table, which Simi has also picked up on for her series. stories now, too. But yeah, so Suzanne Roshan comes out. She's got these huge earrings. I think they were emeralds. And I'm thinking, like, is this a post-Kites kind of, you know, I'm sorry, honey, gift or something? But she also seemed like really kind of, I don't know, stoned or ditzy or out of it or whatever. So they would play for her. They had this clip of, and you want to talk about painful, this was Hrithik singing, "You're the Wind Beneath My
No.
A cappella. And at the end, he sort of like blows a kiss at the screen and like scrunches up his eyes and stuff. And I have to say, she was visibly moved, either that or maybe they were tears of laughter. So she was, you know, she had to like, she had to compose herself before they could go on. And, you know, of course she was doing the whole, you know, oh my God, I wasn't expecting this. And, oh, I don't know. It was just, but it was very similar to her that night on Coffee with Karan, except, you know, this time her husband was actually sitting next to her.
I have come to realize by means of these celebrity interviews, and I suppose I should thank Karan Johar for that, but I have come to realize that the cheesiness that you see in Bollywood is not an affectation, and it's not them. I used to think it was them, you know, condescending or patronizing the audience, but it's not. I mean, it's like an extremely genuine expression of the people that they actually are. They actually are the kind of people who would sing "The Wind Beneath My Wings" to their wife on national TV.
But, you know, Amrita, can I ask you, this is going to be me asking like a dumb American question, because one thing that's occurring to me, though, people generally in Indian society, I find, are very polite. And so, you know, there's this whole uncle and auntie thing. And if somebody invites you over to your house, you know, you're always a good guest and you're nice to the people who've had you over. And if they give you food, you eat, even if you're like stuffed to the gills and all of this kind of stuff. And there's always this respectfulness and everybody's, you know, gee and all this kind of thing. So, I mean, do you think that this celebrity cheesiness, it's that attitude but multiplied times, you know, a gazillion because of there's more money and fame and all the rest of it involved? Do you think this is some sort of a weird, as if that politeness had been like zapped by nuclear waste or something and now it was glowing in the dark?
Think about the amount of ass kissing that goes on in Hollywood. Just because you have this sort of confluence of power and money, and then you add in this cultural respect aspect to it, maybe to them it's as genuine as they can get.
Do you think Karan thinks he's being polite?
Yeah, I think he's actually playing by the rules of his world, actually. I think that is exactly how things work in Karan Johar's world.
Which is a special
place. It's a scary place. Maria, let's talk about the good first. Is there a guest that you'd actually like to meet for a coffee or drink?
Yes, it's a brother and sister pair, and initially I would have said Ekta and Tushar, but I get the sense with Ekta that you'd have to be in the filmy world for her to, I think, really let her hair down and just talk, you know, not even secret, you know, behind the scenes stuff, but just to even talk about the film business, which I would love to hear more from her about, because, you know, she is such a powerful person and at such a young age and everything. But after that episode, I realized that that would be ridiculous. But I thought Farhan and Zoya were very interesting, and Zoya especially. I'd love to sit down with either both of them together or just her alone and just talk about, you know, her filmmaking experience so far and her experience, you know, growing up and when she was studying in New York and everything. She actually came across as someone who also doesn't seem too scared to say what's on her mind. So that was my thought. How about you two?
Zoya was my choice also, like hands down. She talks the way we talk to each other. You can tell she's thinking. You can tell she has emotions. She's having fun in the conversation, but she's also respectful of how the conversation is going. So she lets other people talk, but she also doesn't let herself get pushed around. She was perfect. And I've never heard her in an interview before, and I just was really impressed with her. But yeah, I mean, I'm biased. She reminds me of the people I like in real life. So.
I guess it's unanimous. I mean, she came across as the most normal, quote unquote, normal person on that show. She seemed real. She seemed, like Beth says, she seemed like somebody that I would actually know in real life. And she seemed like she had a brain and wasn't afraid to show it. And I like strong women who don't come off as a bully, you know. I think that's a difference between that I saw between Zoya and Ekta, is that Zoya was confident in who she was, whereas Ekta, I have no idea why she does that weird thing that she does where, you know, it's all very sex kittenish whereas she really is not that kind of a person. And you can tell she's not that kind of a person. I have no idea what that's about. I can't believe you'd actually even consider meeting her and Tushar Kapoor for a drink, because I was horrified by the interview.
Oh, really? See, I had them as my sort of runner-up for who I'd want to meet, except the whole time I was watching that, I kept remembering your post, Amrita, about his horrifying interview where he talks about things that no one should ever say out loud. If you know that and you just saw him on the show, I actually thought he seemed pretty normal also. And he seemed horrified by his sister, which I thought was the appropriate response. she was kind of unhinged and evil and cackling and was being really rude about his girlfriends and,
I mean, it would. If I were actually out at a cafe with those two, I would feel like I was babysitting a couple of toddlers.
Wow. Well, but you know, in my defense, I would say two things. Well, I would say one thing, and then I have to bring up a question because there's something that I just really don't get, and maybe you guys can explain it to me. But the reason why I was originally thinking them was, you know, I always had this impression of Tushar Kapoor from his previous films, before Shore, or Shore in the City, as it's now called. And even when that film was at this festival in New York last year, I remember a friend of mine said to me, "Oh, you going to see it?" And I said, "Oh God, no, you know, it looks, you know, Tushar Kapoor's in it. I mean, God, no." I was thinking, you know, again, it was going to be some really brainless, you know, dumb comedy or something. And my friend said to me, no, you have to see it. This is a really good movie, I promise you. And so I thought, okay, fine, I'll give it a shot. And I was really surprised by him in Shore because, you know, his character, he plays such a different guy from the type of guys he's played before. And when they did the Q&A after the film also, you know, he actually answered pretty well. He didn't sound like a total, you know, ditz or just somebody so self-involved and whatnot. So, although I have to say, because Ekta was there with him too, and I was a little disappointed because one of the questions I directed towards them was to her, and she just completely skirted around it and didn't answer at all. So this was the beginning of my indication of why, you know, you'd get nowhere with her, I guess, except if you were in her filmy circle or whatever. But here's the thing I do not get about her. Every time you see this woman, she's got so much cleavage showing, right? I mean, her cups runneth over. She's falling out of whatever she's wearing, and yet at the same time, there's this dichotomy because she produces all of these Sas Bahu shows and everything. And the other thing is, this is what always throws me off. She always has, like, you know, she's got this red tikka or gulal or whatever, that I always think, like, okay, she's been to a temple or something before coming to the red carpet, and which to me indicates some kind of, like, religiousness or holiness or something, you know, some whatever. And that to me just goes totally amok versus the ample cleavage being shown to all of us. That always completely baffles me.
The only times I actually pay any attention to her is when she's on Coffee with Karan. And the couple of times that she's been on the show, she's not exactly the best dresser the show has ever seen. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I want to say one more thing about Tushar Kapoor, which was that of the episodes I saw, he seemed to have the most realistic sense of his place in the film industry. Uh-huh. He does not seem to have any delusions of grandeur. Our next one was, are there any guests that were pleasant surprises to us?
I guess Ajay Devgan was a pleasant surprise. He was basically a pleasant surprise, as in he seemed like he really didn't want to be there. and he seemed to be making the best of a bad job. And I thought that was kind of admirable. How about you guys?
Ranveer Singh was one because I thought he seemed very honest, especially in his, what you could see happening on his face, and that when some, you know, kind of surprised him or was unpleasant to him, you could see it. And he also, as he did at the IFA Awards last weekend, he seemed really excited to be there because, you know, he's still new and shiny and probably isn't tired of all this crap yet. So I really liked him. And then this blew me away because I don't care for his films. Sajid Khan, I thought, was a pretty interesting guest. And he seemed to be willing to be fairly honest and direct. And maybe that's something that as a director rather than an actor, he can afford to do. especially because he's been quite successful lately. But I really liked that. And I was reminded, Amrita, of when you, I think, had been talking about Houseful on another episode and saying that you had enjoyed watching him and Farah Khan interact and talk about the films they liked as kids. He did a lot of that. And it was really mm-hmm. charming. Like, this is a guy who loves mm-hmm. movies. And I don't mm-hmm. personally care for most of what okay. he does with it. I absolutely cannot question him.
Yeah, I mean, that entire episode, the three of them, it was very clear that they were really good friends in a way that Karan, poor thing, couldn't actually, you know, share in. I mean, it was like this entire little male bonding thing going on, which it was very clear that Karan had absolutely no idea whatsoever what to do with it. But, I mean, I kind of enjoyed it. I liked that kind of easy vibe that they had going with each other.
Well, Beth, I'm a little surprised by your two choices, but I do have to say that on the episode with the three guys, with Bomsi and Sajid and Ritesh, and Ritesh, my God, what happened to his hair on that episode? Poor guy. It was way too bouffant. But anyway, no, I loved that you could see how much they knew the songs and, yeah, the rest of it. And I thought it was interesting also, what I love about Bowman Irani is he's had such a full life mm-hmm. before becoming an actor. So even, you know, he was just saying like, oh yeah, our family potato chip business was in the theater, you know, the cinema district or whatever. And, you know, I think he brings so much richness from his previous, you know, all the other things he's done in his life before he became an actor, which I think is really interesting in contrast to like these young guests that Simi Garhwal has had so far in her show. My choice for this would have been, I agree, I thought Ajay Devgan was good. He was also, you know, he got a couple of good zingers in there, like when they were asking about in the rapid fire round, you know, what do you have on the three cons that they don't have? And he said height. I thought there was some good, he got a couple of good ones in there, although the Ram Gopal Verma question, he got to kind of skate away with on a misunderstanding there. My other person that I would have picked for that, and this really did surprise me, was Shweta Bachchan. And in part because to hear her sort of talking about whatever she was talking about, her own life and growing up, you know, as the daughter of this hugely famous father and everything, but also because she revealed so much about him. You know, it would have been such a different episode if you had Abhishek on, because, like, I was just looking at the promos that they had done for the father's latest film, and Abhishek takes off his jacket, and what's he wearing underneath but a t-shirt with a giant picture of his dad's face on it from the 70s, and I mean, okay, you know, I get it. Indian kids are, like, super respectful of their parents and everything. But, you know, I'm sorry, I guess this is the American in me. But at some point, I just want to go, oh, my God, enough already. And, I mean, and his dad is great. You know, I love Amitabh Bachchan. But part of me is just like, God, what kind of a brown noser are you? You know, meanwhile, Shweta was like, oh, you know, daddy gets all kind of messed up when he has to go on a trip. And all these, like, little insidery things. She was, you know, he thinks he's under control when something bad happens, but he's actually really freaking out, and we're the ones who have to handle things. And also during the I don't know if it was the rapid fire, or I think Karan was doing like a quiz or something, and all the questions, she said at one point, she's like, these questions are all about the film business. And you know, Karan and Amitabh were like, well, of course. And she was like, you know, there's another world out there beyond that.
So talking about rapid fires, the cattiest rapid fire, male and female, who are your choices?
I would say Deepika for the female, but in a good way, because I thought she really got some great singers in there. And Bowman Irani, there was something in there, what was it? Which I thought was just really mean. The question about if you woke up on a desert island with Rocky Seventh and Malika Sharawat, I'd have a sex change. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. And you want to talk about like being a host and being respectful. He's had them both on his show. And it's just, it really bugs me the way they just are the easiest joke to just throw out there is just to say their names all the time. So when I heard that, I was like, ugh, okay.
As much as I like Bowman Irani as an actor, which is quite a bit, and I agree with you that he has a, you know, his interesting sort of different background can prove to be really interesting and probably even makes him a better actor, I thought he really sank to the lowest common denominator on that episode, and I would agree with you that some of what he said was really mean, and I was surprised by that because he seems like someone who knows better.
I know the rapid fire rounds are supposed to be the highlight of the show, but I actually don't really care about them all that much. I mean, it's rare that one of them says something witty on that, you know. I mean, they all try really hard, but mostly I'm just really embarrassed for them. So I don't actually really care. I mean, I can't really remember any of them.
Looking at my notes, and I have actually written in all caps. And you know what? Karin should get the Caddy Award because he's the one.
It's true.
He's the one who sets up these questions. And like, he is the one, or his writers, I don't know who, says these are the two people you get to choose from Bright Futures. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
What? We have to pick between Deepika and Sonam? And I love when the guests say a third option, you know, and quite a few of them do that. He's got his little in list and everything. And it's just, you know, he's the catty one.
But
really,
you're like actually onto something, Beth, because the questions are kind of stupid. I mean, I don't actually care who's like, you know, the biggest con of them all or whatever the hell he was talking about.
Con for all seasons.
I mean, just the phrasing of that question is so incredibly stupid. I immediately don't care what the answer is.
This is one of the things that made me really like Ranveer Singh. When he was being asked, what do these various actors have that you don't? And they asked him, you know, what does Imran Khan have that you don't? And he said, the uncle. And when they asked him what Ranbir Kapoor has that he doesn't, he says, Kapoor! Like that.
The Kapoor name.
Absolutely, because of course Ranbir Kapoor has options open to him that nobody else has. And then when they said, what does Shahid Kapoor have that you don't? He said, some really amazing dance moves. Again, like, that is a good and relevant answer.
That's true. On the other end of the spectrum, the bad. The most eye-roll-inducing moment or guest or episode for you guys.
Can I say John Abraham?
Sing it.
First of all, I mean, I love the way he just showed up looking exactly like he rolled out of bed, first of all. Secondly, the whole topic was, it was just all sex and him kind of flirting, with Karan. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy probably like smells of sex as he's sitting across the couch at him. And you know the way he's doing like the squint and he's sucking on his thumb and everything. And I just thought, How badly do you want to be in this guy's next film? Or, you know, I think it's not even that. I think he's so attractive and so many people, like, fall over themselves about him. I think it's just, like, he likes the jolt of just even, you know, toying with Karan if he's not necessarily interested in guys in that way. That whole episode, I just thought, oh, my God. And if there was one time you really wish there was somebody else on the couch so that the whole thing wasn't just about him and his fabulously sexy home and everything, it was just, it was too much. It was too much John Abraham. And I think it's very funny. He's going to be the guest next week on Simi Garawal's show, so this should be really interesting. How about you all?
I think the entire season was a series eye-roll-inducing moments. I mean, that whole Shahid Kapoor, Priyanka Chopra, are they not? Who gives a shit? I mean, seriously. I mean, it's like being in high school all over again. And, you know, it's like, ooh, I mean, what will his ex-girlfriend say? And what will her ex-boyfriend say? And are they the coolest kids in class? And, you know, look at the chemistry you guys have. I mean, every time Karan was talking about the chemistry they share, I had no idea what the hell he was talking about. Because all I saw were two people behaving in ways that made me want to slap their faces, you know? It's just not attractive. I mean, there's banter and there's this witty banter. And then there's just, you know, poking each other in the side and saying, you stop. No, you stop. It's just stupid. And it's not cute. I didn't think it was cute in the least. Kangana Ranaut in the Anil Kapoor Sanjay Dutt episode, I felt bad for that woman. These two guys were like total bros having a good time and hanging out and like chilling back and forth. And then all of a sudden this girl comes from nowhere and she's like sitting there in her pretty dress. And the two of them are just like, huh? And it was just a train wreck. I have no idea what Karan was thinking, but...
No, but Amrita also, because there was one point where Anil was doing his... And he asked, Karan asked him something about, you know, who do you think is definitely using Botox or having work done or whatever? And he said, oh, Shilpa Shetty, when we were doing this movie, you know, all of a sudden she had this collagen put in her lips and, you know, she came in with these moti-moti lips like the next day. And he said, my continuity went for a toss. So no, so wait, as if that wasn't bad enough, then Karan looks at Kangana, who obviously now has got pouty lips that she didn't have before, and I thought her lips were fine before. I don't know why she had to do this, but she's obviously had something, you know, injected or whatever. And so he looks directly at her, and he says, "What about you? Have you ever had anything like that done?" And she's, you know, with moving right along. But the best part was then when he got to the end of her rapid fire round, at one point she's this terribly annoying, like, nervous laugh, but then at the very end he goes, "Well, Kangana, the winner is not you, so when we come back from the next break, it's between these two guys, and I'll let you know who won." And I just thought, that's so mean, you know. I don't know.
I think she would have actually gone really well with John Abraham. And equality of vapidness between the two of them, you know?
I'm trying to think how much you'd have to pay me to get me to watch that episode. Yeah, my eye roll moment. So I watched this last night, and I think that might be why I'm as worked up as I am. But this is where I want to march up to Boman Arani, Bomzy, and say, "How dare you?" Because he was asked by Karan, "You do lots of different kinds of movies, and what's it like kind of moving in and out of those different kinds of movies," if I remember the question correctly. And on this noblesse oblige rant about how, because he has the gift of being entertaining, it is his responsibility to do it, because the poor, poor, downtrodden rickshaw drivers of India need movies, you know, of the entertaining variety, possibly digest or engage with anything else. He was so insulting to a vast chunk of his potential and current audiences. And maybe none of them watch this show, but I just couldn't believe that he's saying that working classes can't anything other than enjoy things like Houseful. Mm-hmm. And first, what a charming way to explain away some of the spectacular crap that he has been in his admittedly short time in Bollywood. So this is, I looked it up, actually. I was so angry. Here's a man who's been in Houseful, Hey Baby, Action Replay, Game, Kambakht Ishq, Pyar Mohan, and Love Story 2050. You know, and so he's talking about, kind of spinning himself as this great savior of the one night off that the working poor get a week. But at the same time, he has very wisely, I think, deflected any interest from talking about some of his more nuanced films, and some that, in my opinion, are a lot better made, even though they're not necessarily deeper. So you've got things like 99, which I think was brilliant, and Bluffmaster and Mehunas, and things that are very, very popular and shiny and all also, but aren't just as dumb as some of these other ones. So I just, if he actually thinks that, I would be so disappointed. But I just thought that was incredibly rude. And Greta has been on his trivia TV show, and from what she says about him, he seems like a really intelligent, kindly, and interesting person. And this didn't fit in with that at all to me, but it was like he had been given the coffee with Karan spiked drink before he came on the set.
How about the most adolescent behavior?
Well, see, now that's where I would have put in Priyanka and Shahid, and I would say to some degree Ranveer and Anushka, except towards the end when they were asking her in the rapid fire round, you know, how would you, if you had to place a matrimonial ad, what would you say? And when she mentioned 22-year-old girl, I thought, she's only 22? Oh my God. I thought, if nothing else, she's very self-possessed, and not necessarily just in the, you know, "Oh, I'm so beautiful," like, hair flipping way, which is the vibe that I got off the Priyanka episode, which drove me up the wall. I have nothing against beautiful women, but when you've got these girls that are constantly fiddling with themselves, which is just to draw attention to themselves, it just drives me absolutely bananas. It's like, if you're beautiful, can't you just sit there and be beautiful? Do you have to keep, you know, smoothing your hair over one shoulder and flipping it back? And the whole thing about her and Shah Rukh Khan, and, you know, how she blushes. "Oh, look, she's flushing now," says Karan. Like, flushing, really? And then, you know, "Oh, stop it, Karan," you know, and it's just like, I hate that, like, ultra, 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 like, girly, girly behavior. I just think it makes us all look really stupid, even those of us who aren't, you know, former beauty queens or whatever. So between the two of them, they for me, it's kind of a tie. Priyanka and Shahid, I think, really, and also to some degree Ranveer and Anushka, for that whole stupid charade of "we're dating, we're not dating." Ugh. Anyway, who cares?
Exactly.
My most adolescent behavior award goes to the relentless feigning of gay, or he asked if he could come to my room and sleep with me, or what do you think of homosexuality, or whatever, during that same Bulma and Ritesh Saji Khan episode. So while I would agree that they had, the three of them, a really fabulous, bromancy chemistry, and that they're clearly friends. And I love when people are friends. That's great. But then how they, kind of like Imran Ranbir did with their fake kissing and everything, like, the cool guys in high school, so we have to make jokes about gay. And then Karan direct, you know, he didn't ask all three of them, what do you think of homosexuality? He only asked Ritesh. Like, you velvet-coated bully. Just, you know, Karan egged them on, and they egged themselves on.
I also thought the whole Rani Mukherjee, Vidya Balan, look at us being all lesbian and, you know, shocking. It is stupid. It was just incredibly stupid. I mean, I don't actually buy that you're as chummy as, you know, she was giving it, it was too hard to sell. The three of us are friends, but, you know, if you were actually in front of somebody and talking about how we are friends, I wouldn't actually feel the need to come suck on, like, parts of your body to, like, prove what great friends we are.
And Amrita, I wouldn't feel, you know, honor bound to actually stick my thumb out and, like, ram it into your mouth and make you suck it.
I didn't appreciate it at all.
I would agree with Marie about the Anushka Ranveer episode, that she more than he, I thought, but they both had some moments of, so she's coyly pretending to be angry with Ranveer when Karan asks him something and he answers and she hits him with the pillow, and then he cringes and he's like, no, I love you. And then, you know, and then she's all smiles, and then 2 seconds later, she's mad at him again. She's either, again, on drugs, or that's all an act, or she's actually 7 years old. So.
Oh, and can I add one last juvenile thing? Because where Veer was talking about where he first saw her, you know, and he was in the cinema with some friend of his, and they were like, whoa, she's so hot and everything. But then he's talking about he had seen her, he was on a date with some model. No, first of all, she was like some really hot girl, he was saying. And then whatever movie it was that they went to see, I guess it was Rab Ne Bana Di Jodi, I suppose. He was saying, you know, then I kept talking about it all through dinner. And, you know, I'm with this really hot model, and she was like so offended. And I'm just thinking, you know, the way he had to keep saying, like, he was with this really hot model. I just thought, oh, my God. Clearly, boys do mature slower than even girls do.
Okay, so the ugly guest whose ensemble made you say, what was she thinking?
I think Maria's comment, no, which of you said about Ekta Kapoor, that was pretty spot on now that you mention it. But and I swear I don't hate Bulman Arani at all. I like him a lot, but his suit was too shiny in my opinion.
Yeah, the men were, you know, I expect the women to be like, you know, completely dressed up for the occasion. I was just happy that they weren't carrying little handbags like they were in the last season, which, you know, I mean, that to me till date is like the biggest what the moment, you know, of Coffee with Karan. I mean, the way everybody was carrying a handbag all throughout the second season, I have no understanding or explanation for that. But I think the men were kind of weirdly dressed all throughout. I think Abhishek in particular, for some reason, he sticks out in my mind. I haven't seen the episode again because, well, frankly, you couldn't pay me to watch the again. But from what I remember of it, he was kind of weirdly dressed.
But not to be outdone by his father. Oh my God.
Right.
You want to talk about shiny and black. I mean, God bless. Amitabh looked like he was dressing to coordinate with the sofa. I mean, he was wearing this shirt that had, if I remember correctly, shiny black, and it had some kind of a motif, and it was patterned all over the shirt. And then he had like a shiny blazer on top of that. It was so shiny. And I thought, this man normally is so elegant and so beautifully dressed, and he looks good in anything. I mean, look at him in Chini Kam. He looked so sexy in like a blazer and jeans, you know, and he's almost 70 now. And I was like, who dressed this man? And Shweta, I mean, she's been in these like fashion spreads with her brother or whatever. Couldn't she have said, you know, daddy, are you really going on like that? So that was one. And the other one for me, because it's kind of a tie, I think, is Madhuri. I thought, you know, here she is. She's back. This is her comeback. She's back in India and everything. And they put her in this overly busy, like frou-frou, fluffy, and it didn't flatter her. And I just thought they could have done so much better for her than they did. And that whole episode also, I thought, was just, it was an awful pairing of, you know, because Sonakshi had to keep falling over herself saying how she wanted to be like her and she was so wonderful, and Madhuri had to sort of keep sitting there and, you know, taking it and smiling and being gracious. But yeah, her ensemble, I just thought, oh, you know, this is so awful. And she's, you know, they'll say now, like, this is like her having an American accent. Like, now she's lost all of her Indian fashion sense. The opposite of that, I actually thought Gangana's yellow dress with the black bit on it or whatever, I thought that was a, you know, a nice, interesting change to what some of the other women had worn. And I thought, she's got the body for her, you know, for it, let her go with it. So I thought that was a really pleasant surprise by comparison.
Gangana,
so,
for me, is kind of odd because it's like she's half a fashion icon. She's not there quite. Yeah, I mean, I think Sonam does a better job of it, but Sonam, I have a feeling, you know, I always wonder if it's her or her stylist, because everything is so put together and right out of Vogue. She doesn't have that spark in her, I don't think, that the real fashion icons, you know, a Kate Moss or a Sienna Miller. I mean, you can see that they've got something quirky of their own going on in there, which I don't really see with Sonam. Sonam's a little too put together for that.
And that's what Zoya Akhtar said. He asked her who needs a new stylist or whatever, and she actually said she thought Sonam looked great, and then she said everybody else looks like a clone of each other and there's nothing individual about them. You were saying, you know, okay, so it's fine to accuse the female stars of all looking like copies of each other, but that is how society tells them to behave. And so to play the game, that's what they have to do. It's like, what else are you supposed to do? Good for Kangana for denying her plastic surgery when it's like, you know what? It's people like you who create the situation where I feel pressured to do this. So shut up.
Moving on.
The cringe award.
Yeah.
Well, if I can jump in here, I think the award hands down goes to Karan for several reasons, but there was one thing that just really made the needle skip on the record LP for me, which was Sanjay Dutt. When he was doing his rapid fire round, Karan said to him, "Besides your wife, who else makes you feel sexy?" And he mentioned his daughter.
Ew!
And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
And I mean,
what?
I guess he was trying to get it, like, she makes him feel nice. I guess she tells him he looks good or something. But I just heard that and I was like, okay, you know, all right. So aside from that really, really weird moment, I think the consistent hands-down winner for the entire season has to be Karan. First of all, going back to our first discussion we had about this, I'm still, like, stinging over his comment to Sun. She came down the stairs and he said something about, oh, obviously you've been working out, sarcastically. And it's like, you know, she just carried triplets. Give her a break.
He did it to Ekta, too. He talked about how she had been fat.
Oh, God. And then also to Sajid, he said something about, like, oh, you know, and you used to organize fashion shows, and looking at you, no one would ever believe that's what you would be doing. And I just thought, geez, that's really me. And then, of course, there was the collagen comment or question to Kangana. So, I mean, and there's been so many others throughout the season, but those for me were the really glaring.
Saif was actually really good. I actually really liked watching Saif do. Yeah. And he really came off as kind of fatherly towards Karina. I mean,
he seemed like a proper adult.
Yeah.
He's not older than, you know, Shah Rukh and some of the, or Sanjay Dutt, but he just has this calmness. He was perfectly engaged with what was going on the show, but he was just behaving like the kind of person you'd want at your party. An interesting, smart, engaged guest who isn't going to be insane.
He and Ajay Devgan both acted like basically what this show really is. It's a thing that you do to show that you're a part of this industry and that you matter. You're one of the invited people, you know? You're one of the chosen.
And I thought that Seth, within that context, also seemed pretty calm about did not seem hyper
right.
about having to continually reassert that. I felt like his answers were, his answers seemed fairly unique to me, which made me think that he was actually being kind of honest about it and that he had been thoughtful over the course of his career in the industry and actually was, you know, he didn't feel the need to answer that Shah Rukh was the con for all season. He said kind of individual things.
I think the people who came off best in this season were people who had no reason to be on the good side of Karan. And that just kind of shone a brighter light on the fact that Karan uses his show as a kind of bully pulpit.
Literally. Exactly.
Yeah, quite literally.
And they didn't feel the need to laugh at all his jokes. They didn't feel the need to tell him that he and his friends were the best and they mattered the most and they loved him so much. They were just there because it was something that they needed to do to get the word out that they were top dog, and they did that and they went home. And I kind of like that about them. We were also going to talk about Shah Rukh Khan's episode because, Maria, you didn't care for it and neither did I, and I don't know what Beth thought of it, but that was kind of weird, that entire vibe of that show.
Oh, God. His mouth can just keep going and going, and he's saying stuff that it's kind of, I don't know, it's vanilla and it's fine, and, you know, it makes fun of himself and all this kind of stuff, and he won't kiss and he won't ride horses or whatever it is, and it's just like, it's a reel that he's got in his head that he's just pressed the play button and he's letting it go, and meanwhile, he's really thinking something completely else, you know, he's thinking, I don't know, I can't wait to have my next cigarette or whatever, I've got to go shopping or whatnot, and so that episode, to me, like, was just so phony and so fake, and it's really, I suppose it shouldn't be surprising, but why it surprised me is, of course, you know, these two guys are supposed to be like the best buds in the whole world, and of course there's been all the, you know, the innuendo about more than just being friends, et cetera, et cetera, and whatever it is, I mean, you know, maybe that is it, maybe they're doing this to sort of cover up the love that dare not speak its name, or I don't know what, but it was just, it was awful, and you know, you couldn't pay me to sit through that episode again, because it was just, you know, no, this is 40 some odd 50 minutes of my life that I don't want to lose.
Yeah, I think Shah Rukh's talked about this before, about how he's, you know, there's a character called Shah Rukh Khan and then there's a real Shah Rukh, and he basically works for the character called Shah Rukh Khan. And I don't blame him for, you know, doing his PR on autopilot, but that doesn't mean I actually enjoy watching it or being sold as, you know, here's this intimate interview with his best friend, and then, you know, Shah Rukh, the character, shows up and says some kind of PR stuff, and it's like, you know, the sun is shining, I am calm, the sea is the ocean, and, you know, the sky is blue, and the world is full of honeybees or whatever, and then he goes off, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I don't understand what happened.
I had been enjoying it, and then about halfway through, my brain just went like, hang on. You know, you know when you get that feeling where all of a sudden you're lying to you? I don't understand what's happening here. And the whole rest of the episode, I was really skeptical. Like, if I could raise one eyebrow, I would have been raising one eyebrow. And it was, you know, he had that whole lengthy thing about how he can't make friends and how he was going to cry if we had to keep talking about it and whatever. And I, at first I was like, that is actually genuinely quite sad. I was like, but I think this is a lie. Then I also think that maybe he's being honest, but for some particular purpose that I could not discern. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure that I think he was exactly lying, but I don't have any sense of what his intentions were behind saying what he did say. There were moments of what he said that I thought were pretty interesting, like when, I think they opened with this, when Karin was asking about, you've been kind of quiet lately. You know, when he was talking about how sometimes it's just, you know, you just have to kind of retreat and, you know, not put a lot of energy into that and deal with your emotional baggages. You carry your baggages with you, and how are you going to deal with them? And are you going to check them at the door? And everyone's got their baggages. But in all seriousness, the idea that sometimes you need to be quieter in the world in order to deal with your own reactions or stuff that's coming your way, that's a great idea. More people should stop and shut up for a little bit. You know, so when he started out with that, I was like, yeah, that's very wise. How savvy, you know, this man who has probably one of the most frantic lives of anyone we can imagine. And, you know, after just coming back from IFAs, where he's been mobbed repeatedly and just the crazy screechingness of that event, you know, I'm really impressed with how he handles that kind of thing. But then it just kind of turned into this, maybe it was that autopilot thing that you're talking about, but I'm like, I have no idea why he's,
you know,
saying,
what it is. It was basically a breakup speech. It is the equivalent of, it's not you, it's me.
That's true.
And that was basic. And you can tell the insincerity like a mile off. The moment somebody says that, you know it's you, it's not them. For the future, the number one change I wish they'd make to the format of the show, get rid of the ego massage at the end. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, how terrible is that segment where they get people to come in and say, oh, you're so great. I love you. You changed my life. And it's just, I can't sit through it.
I had blocked that one out, but you're quite right. That is horrifying. There are several things I want to change. One of them is I want to get rid of the stupid hamper and like make a donation to a charity or something instead, which goes against the ego stroking. I think the music in between the breaks, the doo-doo-doo, ba-da-ba-da, oh, I hate that. And then I don't like the physical set itself, because I was realizing while watching a bunch of these in a row that it's a little bit like an arena, because you have quite a bit of space with all the action in the center kind of facing mm-hmm. in. And it's mm-hmm. like there's all this room for an audience, but there is no audience. And so mm-hmm. it's like this void. And I wish that they would create something that looked a lot more intimate, since there are not, in fact, any other people there anyway. Just have it be more like a living room or something. But like you were pointing out about that tunnel, Maria, it does have that villain lair quality. And it brings to mind that whole, okay, you are entering my home turf. And you are going to perform for me. Yeah, dance monkey.
No, I mean, it does. I always thought it looked kind of like a strip club, personally. I mean, it, you know, the lighting, the sparkles, the couches is all very, don't notice the stains on the upholstery kind of a thing. I mean,
that faux, you know, lizard covered sofa. Oh my God. But, you know, on this whole subject of, you know, sofa or arena or whatever, my thought was, couldn't he do something like what Charlie Rose does here in the States and have, you know, this round table that they sit at, but that they're a lot closer to mm-hmm. each other. I mm-hmm. thought that would be kind of interesting, because, you know, maybe then the conversation would have to be a little bit more serious, God forbid. But I thought an interesting element you could add to that would also be add alcohol, serve alcohol, and have some kind of a drinking game.
Yeah, we don't know what's in those coffee cups.
Well, I think we've already seen comes of drinking alcohol from Suzanne Roshan.
And the other thing I've got to just say about season 3 before we bid farewell to it, did you guys notice on the lovely, shiny, glass-topped coffee table that there's a thing in the middle of it? It's silver with a little bit of red, and to me it looks like one of those Roomba vacuum cleaners. I mean, what is it? For a minute I was thinking, like, that's where he's hiding the cups that he takes out and he has them signed, but you never see anyone, nobody approaches this item, nobody does anything with it. And I mean, really, when I started last night I was like, that looks like a big shiny silver Roomba.
Damn you, Maria, now I'll have to go up and look it up on YouTube.
I think it's the alien overlord. That's where the signals are coming from.
So talking about alien overlords, are there any guests that you wish Karan would have on?
Besides Arjun Rampal? Okay, so I think I'd love to have him invite Nana Patekar on, and that I would like it to be a one-on-one, because I think the possibility of Nana Patekar just going, like, you know, just either getting really mad and storming off, if he would ever actually deign to be on the show, which of course he never would, but I think the potential for just things going wrong would be so great. And I love Nana Patekar anyway. I'd love him to have Irfan Khan on. I think Irfan, you know, again, he's one of these guys who does the more serious stuff, but he also does the, like, fluffy stuff to make money and whatnot. I think he'd be great. I'd love to see him get Amir Khan on, because I think that'd be an interesting showdown. And also Salman Khan, but apparently Salman Khan wanted him to, like, make a huge donation to his charitable foundation or whatever. And a couple of directors, you know, I think it's funny that he's only had certain directors on a few episodes. I would love him to have Mani Ratnam on. Not that I think Mani would also want to, you know, sort of sully himself by actually appearing on black shirts and suits or whatever, but that would be really interesting. And some of the other directors, like Ram Gopal Varma, who, you know, Karan seems to have this wonderful I don't know.
That would be the biggest
death match of all time, right?
Indian television history.
Even like David Dhawan or Subhash Ghai, who I think he probably thinks he's too cool to have on. I mean, any of those, I think, would all be lots of fun. So that's my very, very long list, which I'll be sending in an email to Karan tomorrow.
No, the one addition that I had, I think yours are really interesting, and I was thinking about Irfan Khan as you were talking. At the IFAs, I got to hear a talk that Kabir Bedi was part of, and he was really interesting and smart. And so I would like to see Kabir Bedi on there, but it's kind of hard to imagine Karan thinking there was a reason to have Kabir Bedi on. So I doubt that will ever happen. But, you know, some of these more self-assured people who don't seem to feel the need to be silly and demonstrate their place in the industry, they, I suspect, would make for some really good guests. Not all of them, but, you know, I think some of them would be really great.
I would like to see a showdown between Karan and Simi. Simi's returned to Indian TV with India's Most Desirable. And apparently India's Most Desirable is like under 25, completely vapid, have like absolutely nothing whatsoever to say that's interesting. And I think Ranbir actually tried to say something interesting in his episode. And she immediately brought it all back to the level that she's apparently predetermined by putting on this weird act, at which point I turned off the TV because I couldn't sit through it anymore. Because, you know, I'm sorry, but I feel embarrassed for other people to an extreme degree. Yep. And this show is just, we were going to talk about Simi's Most Desirable. Maria, you've seen a few episodes.
I was kind of interested when I heard that this was coming on because I hadn't seen her previous series a couple of years ago, which I had really wanted to. But yeah, I mean, it's turned out it's all this, you know, this big massaging of one's celebrity. And I mean, the guests so far have been what? Ranbir. Oh, and this is the other, been rather disappointing. I had higher hopes, thinking that it might actually be a discussion with actors about movie films and the craft of acting or whatever, and silly me. And of course, it's really just turned out to be a whole thing about just celebritydom. And what I find really funny is that the first three episodes, everybody's connected because they've had relationships or they're in a relationship. So first you had Ranbir, who, as you guys, you know me, I'm not his biggest fan. And especially after that episode with Imran on Coffee with Karan, I thought, oh God, I really don't want to hear this guy in interviews, but maybe I'll watch him in films if I have to. But then the next guest, of course, was Deepika. And then after that, Siddhartha Mallya. And I thought, are you kidding me? Really? I mean, this guy is famous for what? For who his dad is, and for having dated a couple of models. Wow, that takes a great skill, and given who your dad is. And, you know, in this is he or isn't he relationship with Deepika. And I just thought, this is absolutely crazy. And that's where I started thinking also, what, is nobody going to be on this show that's a fix or something? And then last night it was Sonakshi Sinha. And, you know, again, she went right into it. One point, this thing about, oh, and you used to be heavier, and then they put up a picture of her on screen. And I mean, you know, it's not like she's somebody that was living in their apartment that had to be like wenched out with a screen or something. I mean, you know, and I know it's stupid. I keep saying to myself, what more do you expect? I mean, these are people in a visual medium, and so of course, you know, their bodies are a large part of what they do, but it just, you know, it never ceases to amaze me and infuriate me how especially the women are just held up to this other standard. Because, I mean, you know, look at, granted, Anil Kapoor, I mean, you know, he stayed in good shape. He's, I don't know, whatever he is, 40-something, 50-something, whatever. But, you know, him and Sanju sitting there on the sofa, I mean, you know, nobody was going like, whoa, baby, what six-pack abs you've got, you know, and stuff. And yet the girls, right away, it's like, oh, yes, and then someone told me, you know, if I lose weight, I could be in the movie. And, you know, and he kept after me and all this kind of stuff. So that I find really, really frustrating. Last night that somehow it hadn't clicked before. But, of course, she's got a live audience there, which Karan didn't. But the thing about this audience, it's the same thing. It's like, I think they won't let you in if you're above 24. I mean, I look every time they pan out to the audience, all I see is young people. And look, there's nothing wrong with being in your 20s. But, I mean, there's more to life than just being in your 20s. I mean, I'm really happy.
Only 24-year-olds have the intellectual patience to sit through a taping of a damn show.
That's an excellent point. But, and the other thing is, you know, they're encouraged to, like, hoot at whoever's up on stage if they think that this person is not telling the truth or whatever. And I'm like, okay, now you're encouraging rude behavior on top of everything else. And my last thought about the show is, if Karan had the, you know, the black, red, and blue stripper pad, Simi's got the female villainous lair, which is all white. It's white with these three giant open fans behind her, and it's just, oh my god. And the other thing is, why the stupid extra activities, like you've got Siddhartha maybe baking cookies or whatever. Well, I mean, you know, just stick to talking to
Well, haven't you ever been to, like, a kindergarten? I mean, children deserve, like, a little cough time. I mean, you can't hate on 20-year-olds for sounding like 20-year-olds, but, you know, every time, like, you know, I was just watching those kids, and I was, like, so happy that I was as never famous enough for, like, somebody to stick a microphone in my face when I was, like, 22 and be like, so what do you think about life and romance? I mean, can you imagine?
That's really true. Oh, that's very true.
I mean, the
true.
Kind of stupidity that you would have spouted at that age is, like, astounding. And yet, these are, like, people who are, like, on TV telling other kids their age about, you know, how, you know, pointers and how to navigate through life and romance. And it's just completely scary.
And that's what I think made the episode with Farhan and Zoya so interesting, was that they did talk somewhat about, you know, making films and getting films yeah. made and your first films and all of that. And I really like that. I mean, aside from, you know, at one point where they were talking about Farhan, like he wasn't even there. And he even says, like, come on, guys, you know, we're not in our living room. People are listening to this or whatever. But, it amazes me because I think India is such a nation of so many people who love movies. Doesn't anybody want to see more than just this? I mean, I'm not talking the really, you know, high level postmodern, you know, all the words that, you know, that you have to talk about when you're in academia and everything necessarily, but, you know, something that's a midpoint between really dry academia that's only for people who are academics and want to talk about it in those terms, and the people who are going to sit there and watch, you know, Siddhartha Mallya at age 23 or whatever make a cocktail or a mocktail for us and, you know, name it Simi's Fizz. Can't we have something more than that? Don't we deserve more than
that? I think it's because they confuse a love for the movies with a love for the stars. And what they're doing is they're remembering in India from like 50 years ago when obviously loving anywhere in the world, whether it was Hollywood or Bollywood or even Europe, you know, loving the movies meant loving the stars. You know, you went and you saw, you know, XYZ star, and you know, it was like you had this fancy premiere and you saw this goddess of the screen that you never really heard about, or you know, you didn't, she wasn't tweeting at you, and she wasn't, you know, she didn't have a sex tape, and she wasn't on the internet all the time. I mean, you had to really search for those stars. So, you know, you kind of had that sort of marriage between film culture and celebrity culture. I think it's like India has never outgrown that period. Like there's a kind of nostalgia for that period because so many of the stars of today are the children of people who've experienced that period. So, you know, I think maybe they just grew up looking at the lives that their parents led and thinking, well, that's what it means. And then, you know, when you put them in a situation where they're talking about their craft, well, first of all, of all the young talent that they had on Coffee and forget Simi, but, you know, on Coffee with Karan, the young talent. I mean, how many of them actually spend time thinking about their craft as such? I think as long as people keep continuing to confuse celebrity with movies and don't understand that the two aren't necessarily synonymous, this is exactly what we're going to get. I mean, would you guys watch season 4?
No.
You're stronger than I am. You know, I mean, NDTV does have this one good half-hour program with Anupama Chopra, but it's short, and one part of that is spent just doing reviews up in that week. So when she does get to do interviews, which are always, you know, intelligent and don't always come down to who are you dating and all of that kind of stuff. It's, you know, it's maybe 5 or so minutes at the most, or, you know, maybe 10 if it's a really generous day. And so, you know, there's that. And then the alternative, if you do want to see these people outside of, you know, the red carpet where they've got their 30-second sound bites going, is, you know, is a show like this or Now See Me show. So, unfortunately, yes, I probably would for, but yeah, Beth, what about you? You wouldn't, huh?
No, I don't think so, because if I want to know, if I want the star thing inane, I can go to Twitter, and at least that's them. Maybe it's their staff. I don't know. But then I don't have to deal with, you know, Karen's whole, you know, bullying and everything. But yeah, we really do deserve better. But if we keep indulging them, we're going to get what we what we deserve. But I do quite honestly think, and I know this is going to sound arrogant, but I'll say it anyway, I do quite honestly think that that is one reason why there are so many movie blogs.
Right.
Because I think that there is an audience and a desire for some sort of commentary about movies and movie culture and, you know, reviews by quote unquote normal people, because there does very weird anger at professional film critics that I don't understand whatsoever. But I think that there is an appetite for conversations about movies and movie culture that by people who enjoy cinema, but who are also willing to ask questions. And I don't know how universal, you know, I'm not going to claim that there's a humongous audience for it, but I think there's quite a bit, because if there weren't, the three of us wouldn't even know each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So instead of watching with Poppy with Karen, I'm going to go read your blog, Maria. I'm going to get way more out of that. And even if it's one of the times when you've been to an event in New York where you've gotten to interview a star, or you've been around, you know, you've asked a question in a big interview with some stars, you're going to report on something that's far more interesting to me about that person than what Karen asks them. So yeah, I'm going to put my time elsewhere.
Yeah. I wish I had your moral fiber, Beth, but I am a total weakling. And so, you know, I'll probably watch it the way I would a train wreck. And it is going to be a train wreck. I think, you know, it's definitely jumped the shark. It's just going to get even more plastic and horrifying in surprising ways from here on out. And I'm going to stick around and watch it. This was Masala Zindabad. Thank you for listening.